Hello, I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. We're a church seeking to make disciple-making disciples of Jesus. Thank you to Life FM for continuing to host us, and today marks the first anniversary of our first broadcast. Today, as we look to God's Word, our reading is Romans chapter 3, verses 9 to 20, so you can begin looking that up now. And while you're getting that ready, I'll pray, asking God to bless us as we read and consider his word, read the passage, and then we'll cut to the kids' talk. So if you have children, make sure they're listening. And then we'll have the sermon. So let's pray. Merciful God, as we listen to your word, read and taught, please open our ears and our hearts. Show us the truth of who we are. Make us ready to hear the truth and to believe it. We pray your word would pierce to the dividing of soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It discerns the thoughts and intentions of the heart, and so we pray that as we read it and think about it, we would understand ourselves better, so we would know how desperately we need your mercy. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let's read Romans chapter 3, verses 9 to 20. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness? Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. And now, it's over to the children's talk. Hi everyone, I'm here with two of my kids, Kai and Ellie. Say hi, guys.
Hi.
Now, I have two glasses of pure, clean water. Would you both like to have a drink? There you go. Is that good water?
It's okay.
Yeah?
It's good.
It's normal water. All right. Well, put that down there and I'm going to grab my bottle of, what's that?
Food dye. Poison.
Poison. I have my poison here and I'm going to put some poison into both glasses. A little bit of poison there. And maybe a bit more poison here. Okay, I have just put some poison into both glasses. But have you noticed this one has a whole lot more poison? You can see the poison all the way through it. It's really dark. And this one, it's not as dark, is it?
No.
But let me ask you, would you want to drink either of those glasses?
No.
No.
Why not?
Because they're both poisoned.
Both poisoned. You're exactly. What's going to happen if you drink one
you're
of
gonna
them?
You're
going to
die.
Or
you're going to get very sick.
Going to die, going to get very sick. Do you know, in our Bible passage that we're looking at, it describes sin as poison. It talks about how when people sin with their mouths, when they speak sinful words, it's as if they have the poison of a venomous snake in them. And that's what sin is. Sin is like a poison. Now, what happens when you drink poison again? Ellie?
You get very sick or you die.
When we sin, it's as if we are drinking some poison. Do you think everyone has this poison in them?
Yes.
I think you're right. And do you know, just like this poison in the glass has completely touched every bit of it, every bit of the water has been touched by poison. Do you know, our Bible passage says that every part of us is touched by poison. Everything that we do and everything that we say is touched by sin. Okay, there's nothing that we do which is completely pure, completely right. But just like in these glasses where one of them is much darker with the poison than the other, you know, there are some people who behave even worse than other people. Some people we look at and we go, wow, they are really, really bad. But let me ask you this question. If you were to drink this one with less of the poison in it, would you still die?
Yes.
Yeah, you'd still die. We can't look at people who seem worse than us and judge them, can we? We are sinful too. Now, what's the solution? How can we possibly fix the problem of our sin? Ellie?
Tip the poison out of us.
How could we do that?
By trusting in Jesus. By repenting.
By trusting in Jesus, by repenting, and then when we do that, it's as if God takes the glass and pours out the poison and fills it up with nice, pure water again. And all of a sudden, we're able to drink out of that glass. When we turn to God, God is full of mercy, and He makes us new. He washes away our sin and makes us His children. Isn't that good news?
Yes.
But we need to remember that without Jesus, this is what we're like. Every part of us is touched with sin. Sad news, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But isn't it good news that we have Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you that He has taken care of our sin when we trust in Him. So please help us to trust in Him. Please help us to be godly and to put away our sin. And when we do sin, help us to keep coming to you for your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I've only really felt claustrophobic once. We were visiting the farm of Beck's auntie, and they decided to take us to their old water tower to show us the view of the farm. I was already a little nervous. I'm not great with heights. But being a man, I thought I'd better go up and try not to show my nerves. So we were led inside this old water tower and went up the spiral staircase. It would have been fine, except there were a few points where the stairway got quite narrow. I'm not sure if it's getting narrower in my memory than what it really was, but I was getting worried. There were people behind me, so I couldn't go back. I could only keep going. I was longing to escape from that tight space, and when the light at the top was finally visible, the relief I felt was overwhelming. When we finally got to the top, all I wanted to do was stretch out wide and take advantage of being free. It's that same sort of anxiety and tension that should be worming into our hearts as we read these words from Paul. Since chapter 1, the walls have been closing in, getting tighter and tighter. More and more spotlights have shone on us while we sit in the dock. How can we escape? The walls are closing in. The evidence is coming in. Can we weasel our way out? Surely we're not that bad. Surely we can make up for the bad things we do. Surely God will accept us. Paul can't let us keep deluding ourselves like that. He won't let us pretend that we're nice and cozy when the walls are starting to close in and squeeze us. He tells us, try as we might, we can't escape God's judgment by good works. Paul gives us three reasons why good works won't cut it to get us out of the mess we're in. His first reason, our first heading, in Romans 3, 9-18 is, we are all under sin. Verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all, for we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. Since chapter 1, verse 18, Paul's been holding the mirror up to the Romans, showing them and us our natural state. Naturally, we reject God, refusing to worship him, though we know he's worthy. He's angry with us. Whether we're Jew or Gentile, whether we have the law of God written on stone tablets or on our hearts, we're storing up God's wrath, and no amount of finger-pointing will get us off the hook. But Paul knows we want wiggle room, to escape the spotlight in that interrogation room, and something he's just said might give the Jews some hope. In chapter 3, verse 2, he's mentioned an advantage the Jews have had. They were entrusted with the oracles of God. They were given his word in the Old Testament. And that is an incredible advantage, a wonderful heritage. But it's not relevant for the judgment to come. In a plane crash, it doesn't matter if you're in business class or in economy. You're going down. Being a Jew won't help you in the judgment, no matter how many oracles of God you were entrusted with, because we are all under sin. Does that sound right to you? When you look at yourself, your family, your workmates, friends, do you see people under sin, enslaved by sin, controlled by sin? Or are they basically good? Paul won't let us close our eyes and pretend the walls aren't closing in. He wants us to see the cold, hard truth. We are all under sin. So he goes to the Old Testament, nailing down the truth that keeps wanting to get loose. How many are righteous? None. No, not one. Who seeks for God? No one. Surely there's someone. All have turned aside. There's no wiggle room. There's no imagining the walls away, no pretending the spotlight isn't on us. We're all under sin. The way we use our words is focused on in verses 13 to 14 with three more quotes. We follow the journey of our words from the throat to the tongue to the lips and the mouth. Our words can be like poison, Paul says. Hurtful, hateful, deceitful. Verse 15, their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. Violence is all around us. You say you haven't been in a fight your whole life? Jesus says if you're angry with your brother, you'll face judgment. John says if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. We can't wriggle out of this. We pretend we're different, but we're not. There's no escape. We are all under sin. We're under its power, every single one of us. Every single part of us, our throats, tongues, lips, mouths, feet, eyes, we're sinful. This is what's called total depravity. Not that we're as bad as we could be, but every part is tainted by sin, every action, every thought. Because we've all turned our back on God. because there's no fear of God before our eyes. I tried explaining this to a woman one day when I was on a plane, and she couldn't fathom it. She was sure I was a good person. I was so nice to her. And she was a good person, and her son was a good person. But that's pride. I'm not good. She's not good. Her son wasn't good. None is righteous. Every part of us is sinful. Our first heading is, we are all under sin. Which means in verse 19, we have our second heading. We are all under judgment. Verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. The law is speaking. Who to? Just the Jews? No, he says the whole world is guilty before God because we're all under the law. But this isn't new. He's already said in chapter 2, verses 14 to 15, that when Gentiles do what the law requires, they show the law is written on their hearts. Those of us who aren't Jews didn't have the detail of the sacrificial system, but we knew what was right and wrong. The law was written on our hearts, our consciences. The law, whether the written law of Moses or what was written on our conscience, speaks to us. So, verse 19, every mouth may be stopped, and the world may become guilty before God. Excuses come naturally to us. When I start yelling at my kids, it's so easy to justify myself, to blame them for the fact I did something wrong. I didn't show love, kindness, or patience. But they drove me to it. Even more, they deserved it. This needed to be done. They weren't doing it. They weren't behaving well, and yelling both felt good to me and might have made them a little bit faster. And if I wanted to justify myself a bit more, I could compare myself to others. At least I'm not doing that. But the law stops our mouths. It shuts them, so there's no excuses. No minimizing, no comparing ourselves with others so much worse than us. No justifying ourselves, focusing on the good things we do and building those up while ignoring the sinful things. Our mouths are stopped. Because when the law is read and our lives are held up and examined in its light, there's nothing to say. The sinful stains are there for everyone to see. There's no point denying the charge when the video shows you doing the crime. There's no excuse to make to God, the one who holds us accountable, the righteous judge. The walls have closed in. There's no pretending otherwise. The spotlight is on us, in the courtroom. We can't escape. Our guilt is clear. Verses 9 to 18 said we are all under sin, and so verse 19 says we are all under judgment. When I was trying to explain this to that woman on the plane, she made the comment that not many people are going to get into heaven then. She hadn't gotten it yet. None of us, as we are, will get to heaven. None of us are good enough. We might think we're a good person or they're a good person, but to God, none of us are good people. There's no defense to offer for our sin, no finger pointing we can do to make ourselves look better compared to someone else. And God won't let us get away with it. God is a judge, and we're accountable to him. He's a just judge. And he won't let sinners get away with sin. He won't just sweep it under the carpet. He sees us for who we really are. Unrighteous, worthless, tongues like open graves, feet swift to shed blood. He knows us. And we're under his judgment. You might think he's a teddy bear, soft and squishy, ready to welcome you in. But he's a judge. And one day, you'll have to reckon with him. We are all under sin. We are all under judgment. And in verse 20, we find our third heading. We are all unable to help ourselves. Verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Again, Paul leaves no wiggle room. The court is in session. Our guilt is clear. There's video evidence, DNA evidence. The stolen goods were found in our house. We're guilty. We're under God's judgment. There's no defense we can offer. No excuse. And now, Paul's not even letting us bring our good works into the conversation. This is the hope of other religions. All the other religions recognize that none of us are perfect, so they teach that the way to be saved is to try to do enough good things to offset the bad things. So when the scale of God's justice measuring the good and the bad is brought out, the good will outweigh the bad. That's not how God's justice works. It's not enough to follow the law sometimes. 100 good deeds won't cancel out one bad deed. We're in the courtroom. The accusation's been proven. The judge is getting ready to rule, to cast his sentence, which will confine us to the horrors of hell, eternal, conscious punishment. And this verse says we're unable to help ourselves. We long to be justified, to escape God's anger, his judgment, to not only have the case thrown out, but to be completely exonerated, declared publicly to be innocent. And our good works can't do that. Following the law now, whether the law of Moses or the law in our hearts, it won't help. It's like throwing water on a fire that's already burned out. It's useless, too late. To do works of the law will never justify us because the law can't justify us. Instead, through the law comes knowledge of sin. And we've already seen that. Paul's quoted from the Old Testament already, telling us that none is righteous. We long to be righteous, justified, but that's not something we can do. Unrighteous people can't make themselves righteous. We're all unable to help ourselves. This is hard news. And I've got written in my notes to smile here, to encourage you. For 4 weeks, we've been hit again and again. But we're holding out for the hope of Romans 1:17 that God will give us righteousness. Chapter 3, verses 19 to 20 summarizes chapters 1 to 3 and says we're all under sin, we're all under judgment, we're all unable to help ourselves. And we're all tempted to downplay this. To pretend either it's not true or it's not that bad. To think that, yes, God knows I do bad things, but he sees my heart and knows that deep down I'm a good person. But that's the problem. God does see down to the very core of your heart, and he sees that you're not a good person. I'm not a good person. After a beating over 3 chapters, there's no room left for pride. And that's exactly what Paul wanted to be stripped away from us. We need to realize that we can't escape God's judgment by good works, by works of the law. Our sin is too horrendous, oozing out of every pore. There is no hope or help to be found in ourselves. Until we understand that, we'll never understand the gospel that Paul's waiting to get to, that he's about to get to, in the very next verse. And so we have reason to smile. We can't escape God's judgment by good works. That's the main point. We're under sin. His judgment is coming, and we can't help ourselves. We won't escape it by good works. We can't make up for sin. We can't work off our debt like you might by washing dishes in a restaurant to pay for a meal, no payment we could ever make could be enough. Are you depressed? Feeling hopeless? Do you feel trapped by your sin, longing for freedom? Longing for the walls to stop closing in on you, for the spotlights to be moved off you, and be excused from the dock in the courtroom? Good. That desperation is where we're meant to be, before we can hear the gospel which brings freedom. The gospel which will give us the escape from God's judgment that we need. Let's pray. Our God, we thank you for this hard news, that you have shown us the truth of our desperate need. After spending all these weeks in the first few chapters of Romans, we've been exposed to the reality of our sin. How foolish we'd be to be proud, to compare ourselves to others. Every part of us is stained by sin, and we are under your judgment, unable to help ourselves. We are in desperate need of your mercy, your grace. And we praise you that in the very next verse we'll consider, we'll finally come to the good news. Father, for your people listening, give us humility as we think about our sin, and give us joy when we think about Jesus and the forgiveness he has won for us by the cross. For those listening who don't know you, make them desperate for grace, desperate for forgiveness, desperate for hope. May they come to Jesus and find life through his cross. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm Jesse Wolls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, and I pray you've been blessed as you've spent this time in God's Word. We'd love to have you join us physically next Sunday at 10 a.m. If you're not a Christian, but you're curious to know more about Jesus, the church, what Christians believe, then today at 4 p.m, we're hosting Grill a Christian. I'll speak on the question, will there ever be justice? And after that, you'll be free to ask questions in a relaxed environment. Grill a Christian starts at 4 p.m. at Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, 75A Victoria Street. You can contact us through Facebook, Instagram, or our website if you'd like. And as always, if you'd like to make a comment on what you've heard today, if you have a question, or you're looking for a church, then please get in contact with us. Our website is eaglehawkpc.org.au. God bless you.